I believe that God orders the steps of a righteous man or woman every day. I believe that God is in control. I believe that he directs everything. I don't believe it's an accident that you're here today. It's not an accident that you chose today to visit the church, because today God wants to talk to you. He has something very special that he wants to talk to you. He wants to let you know that he loves you, and you're all special. There's lots of different things that, as I see in the creation, it speaks of our Creator. Man is made in the image of God. We're made of body, soul, and spirit. Today I want to talk about the spirit, man's spirit, woman's spirit. In the natural realm, in the natural world, we think about all the fruits. How many of you like fruit? My mother-in-law just loves fruit. Can't keep enough fruit in hand. Think about the fruits. Think about, let's just take an apple, for example. The apple, we have the skin. Under the skin, we have the pulp that's good, you like to eat. And then inside's the core, the seed. Three areas. You can apply those three areas to every fruit that grows. Think about that. Every fruit that grows, you have that. Those three things. Three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting? We, made in the likeness of God, body, soul, and spirit. All right. Let me talk to Jesus for a minute. Lord, you laid this message in my heart. And now I need to share it in such a way that it'll be very clear, very simple, that every one of us will grasp the very truth that you want us to see today. In Jesus' name, amen. It's very possible, and it happens many times, for Christians to lose control of his or her spirit. I'll explain that a little bit further as we go along. And when it happens, it causes confusion, strife, and conflict. And it brings me to my verse, Proverbs 25:28. Whenever this happens, it happens because he has no rule over his own spirit. I mean, he becomes like a city that's broken down without walls. The picture here that is being portrayed in this verse is an image of a total loss of control. Have you or your spouse ever been in an argument and one or the other says, you need to get a grip on yourself, you're out of control? Boy, does that hit some home. Listen carefully. This is a good message for marriages and relationships. And if you're not married, pay attention. If you want a good marriage, pay attention. This verse carries a very, very powerful warning to every man and woman. When our protective walls come down, we become vulnerable. We've become vulnerable to attack by demonic forces. In the days of old, when the cities were built, they built walls around the cities. Why was that? They needed what? Protection. From who? From the enemy. It's the same way in our lives. Same way. We don't call it a wall. We can call it a hedge. Our first example that we have that I can draw your attention to is the book of Job. The book of Job is a very old book. If I were to place it in a time category, I'd place it next to Genesis. If I was going to put it in a chronological order, I think the book of Job is every bit as old as the book of Genesis. In the very beginning of the book of Job, it says, there was a day when the sons of God, and that's referring to angels, came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord. And if you want to know what the Satan does, here's what he does. He goes to and fro throughout the earth. And from walking up and down in it. That's what he told the Lord. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, perfect and upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil. And then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Or that word means for nothing. Hast thou not made a hedge about him? Here we go. God had a protective hedge around him. And the devil reminded God that he did. Because the devil's talking here. Hast not thou made a hedge about him? And about his house. And about all that he has on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. This is the devil talking. He continues, but put forth your hand now and touch all that he has, and he'll curse thee to thy face. Well, now we know the story of that. And boy, did Job have a rough life for a while. Everything he held dear, he lost. How would you pan if that happened to you? How'd you pan out? Would you be ready to curse God if you lost everything? That's what he said, he lost everything. God had a hedge around him. The hedge is what I want to talk about today. God can so choose to pull a hedge down in your life. That's his choice. And I'll tell you when he does it. It happens we go through. First of all, I want to share this. All of us will go through some ordinary testing. I'll say ordinary, I'm going to say normal. I'll add normal testing. We all go through some kind of testing that happens in our life. But through our testing, we still enjoy his peace through the years. Our marriage can be very solid. Our homes can be homes that are full of love. Our lives can be blessed. Our work can be blessed. And it all happens because he keeps, because we are able to keep our human spirit subject to the Spirit of Christ. That's when God allows the hedge to continue. It keeps God's walls around us strong and intact. But the same godly man or godly woman can lose control over an aspect of their life, and I'm referring to the spirit. Your spirit being no longer subject to you. You are in control. But sometimes, if you get extremely angry, you lose control. And when that happens, your patience lessens. Your tempers flare. You find yourself constantly arguing. You're easily hurt. You fly into rages. You use hurtful and cutting words to one another. And when this happens, the home is in serious trouble. Spouses misjudge every word between them. They speak harshly to each other. And then if there's children in the home, this creates another problem. Their children become victims of the bitter bickering. They see their mom and dad constantly snipping at each other. The arguments continue to increase. The stability in the home begins to evade. And so the children turn to others, to the world, trying to find comfort or some sense of control. Because children need stability. They need to know their home is secure. So if you don't want this to happen to your children, listen up. This man or woman, his life is now a troubled city. The walls are now down. No protection against the invasion of demonic powers. And sadly, it's happening throughout many, many homes today. Something has caused Christians to lose control of their spirits. And the enemy is gaining access, not only to their hearts, but to their homes as well. It's happening at an alarming state. Were you aware of the fact that there's now more, the divorce rate is equal with that of the world? The divorce rate in the church, I'm going to say, is equal to that in the world. I believe the divorce is something that's plaguing the churches worldwide. Even among ministers and church leaders, it's alarming. Everywhere, protective walls that were once around our Christian homes are crumbling and families are breaking up. Why is it happening? The enemy can't touch anybody's life. The enemy can't touch our home when the walls are up. Remember the conversation the devil had with the Lord? I read it for you earlier. He can't touch anything in our life or in our home when the walls are up. It's impossible for him to get at us. But he can harass us. And he does. He makes a lot of noise. He can't really hurt you because Jesus pulled his teeth at Calvary. So all he can do is make a lot of noise. That's what it says. He walketh about roaring like a lion. Can't bite you, but he just makes a lot of noise. He likes to let you know he's around. He can't take control of your mind or your marriage until the walls come down. But men and women are losing control of their spirits, and they become troubled cities. No longer having any power or authority to keep their marriages or their homes safe. I believe it often starts when we as Christians blame everybody else for our problems except ourselves. Husbands and wives blame each other for their own tempers. Some blame the devil for their troubles. And so my question is, who let the devil in? Who's responsible for the broken walls that allow him to run rampant? Who's responsible for that? In a lot of cases, our troubled situation isn't the fault of the devil. It's why the psalmist, and now you can turn to Psalms chapter 80, verses 12 and 13. It's why the psalmist asked God, "Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it." Psalms chapter 80, verses 12 and 13. And so the psalmist was asking, "Lord, what caused the hedge to come down?" Now I want to give you another good scripture that goes with this message is Isaiah chapter 5, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah chapter 5, 1 through 7. The prophet here tells us who pulls down the hedge. I begin reading with verse 1. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He fenced it, and he gathered out the stones thereof, and he planted it with the choicest of vine. That's verse 1 and 2. You see, the builder of this vineyard is God. In the next two verses, he says this, Now, O inhabitants of Israel and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. Verses 3 and 4. God declares he did everything possible to make his vineyard safe and fruitful, but it brought forth bad fruit. And so then the Lord then declares, I will tell you what I will do to the vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. You see, this is like a parable here in the book of Isaiah. He looketh for judgment, but behold oppression. For righteousness, but behold a cry. So who removed this protective wall? It was the Lord himself. And what was his reason for doing it? The fruit of his people's lives were what? Rotten. They weren't producing good fruit. They were rotten. What kind of fruit are you producing? Our Sunday school lesson went hand in hand. That's why I didn't put it away. The Sunday school lesson was right exactly, goes right with my message. The tongue has a lot to do with your spirit, by the way. Your tongue has a lot to do with your spirit. If you can't control your tongue, you can't control your body. If you can't control your body, you'd be end up like a castaway. I'm getting to that. Now I'm getting ahead of myself. Paul knew the stability. He knew that for the stability of our walls, it had everything to do with how seriously we take God's word. I like the way Paul shares. He doesn't pull any punches. He says, when we break the commands that we preach to others, we can become blasphemers because we're not practicing what we're preaching. And God will judge us for the sins that we indulge in secret. And Paul said, I keep my body under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Interesting that Paul should use such a term as castaway. Modern theologians try to fudge this meaning away. But in the Greek, it means rejected or unapproved. Simply put, when we live a lie, our walls come down, and we become vulnerable to every attack from Satan. Now, I can tell you the Lord isn't a hard taskmaster. He is very patient. He is very kind. He is very long-suffering. And he won't bring down the walls just like that, especially those who battle temptation. Let me give you an example. Man or woman, this would fit. Perhaps on the internet. A pornography site comes up. Curious as many are, well, check that out, see what that is. Ooh. Maybe you spend more time there than you should have. Maybe you were looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. You know what Jesus said about that? He said, if your eye offends you, you should pluck it out. That's how serious this matter is. pluck it out. Now, he wasn't meaning the occasional. What he was referencing was the habitual. Let me try to explain that to you. When the lady was caught in the act of adultery, and the Pharisees brought her to Jesus, they knew what the law said when a woman is doing this. So they tried to trick Jesus and say, what does the law say? Well, he began to write in the sand. Nobody knows for sure what he wrote because it's not recorded. But I have a pretty good idea what he wrote. He looked up at those Pharisees that brought this lady to him that day, and he got down and he began to write in the sand, and he looked at the Pharisee in the eye, and he said, hey, he wrote that man's sin in the sand. Then he looked at the other Pharisee that brought her and wrote his sin in the sand. And the other one. So that the Pharisees could see what he was writing. Then he said, you who are without sin can cast the first stone. After looking at what he wrote in the sand, they realized that they were all full of sin. They couldn't say anything. There was silence that day. The Lord said to the lady, where's your accusers? What do they have to say? Nothing. And he looked at the lady and said, neither do I condemn thee. But what did he say next? Those are the words I want you to think about. Go and what? Sin no more. You mean to tell me that lady never sinned after that? So what was he saying? He said, stop this habitual lifestyle. You see, this lady had a lifestyle of adultery. Stop it. It's time for a new lifestyle, is what he was saying. Big difference than in an occasional adultery. Now, let me get something very clear. No occasional adultery is ever right. Understand, it's all sin and God hates it. But God forgives. Are you listening? Are you with me? But I can tell you there's a time when God draws a line and says enough is enough. Don't you put God to the test. When the Holy Spirit convicts you of something that's not right, you seek God's forgiveness. If you went to that pornographic site and you spent more time there than you should have, before your head hits the pillow, and you said, Lord, I was looking at something I really shouldn't have been looking at. And I'm sorry. Forgive me. I don't want to go there again. He'll forgive. But then let's take the man or the woman who don't want to stop that lifestyle. They have an addiction. And they run to it every day and find themselves addicted to that website every day. God says, enough is enough. Stop it. Now, do you understand what I'm telling you? Habitual lifestyles. It's why God hates homosexuality so much. Does he hate the homosexual? No. What does he hate? The lifestyle. Now you're getting it. The lifestyle. The habitual sinning every day. Do you grasp that truth? Do you understand that? Whew. Are you in control of your spirit? The man who's addicted to this besetting lust loses control of his spirit. And this can be a man or a woman regularly indulging in this. Over time, the mind becomes saturated with filth because there is a continuation in this sin and has been given totally to sensuality. And so such a man or a woman begins to wonder, why is my marriage falling apart? Because they can't connect the dots. They can't connect the problems of this addiction and this indulgence in sin. And so God is trying to deal with this. This habit that has continued for weeks and months and years. The Lord has sent warning after warning, time after time, and yet there's no desire to be delivered. Instead, there's been a comfortable nest made for this. And they run to it at every opportunity. But you see, God has made a very simple provision for us to be delivered from all dominion of sin. He has sworn by the covenant of promises that he has given to us in the Bible to deliver us from sin's power. And all that he asks is that we seek his face, that we inquire of him, that we confess our sin and yearn to be free and break this bondage. He promises his Holy Spirit will give you the power to help to mortify our deeds of the body and have victory. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Romans 8:13. I believe there's a terrible practice that's sweeping across many of the churches all over the world, not just in our area, but all over the world. It's happened because pastors have created a false Christ. They preach a Jesus who's only about love and not about holiness. That he is an indulgent Savior who turns a blind eye to a besetting sin at least 490 times. Why that number? Because he told Peter how many times to forgive. 70 times. Yeah, so we think because you told Peter that, that's how many times you need to forgive me. Listen, when you start thinking that way, that's dangerous. That's dangerous. Very dangerous. That doesn't give you a license to do what you want to do. Pastors, these pastors have never considered our Lord's righteous judgment or hatred for sin. Instead, they continue to lead people to excuse their sin with the claim it doesn't matter if I fall, God will love me anyway. You see, there's only a certain amount of that that's true. And the devil always uses an element of truth. And so I challenge each pastor. I say to each pastor today, how do you reconcile what Jesus says to his church in Revelation? He warns them of Ephesus, repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent, Revelation 2:5. He said to the church of Pergamos, repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. And finally, he says to every church, all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works, Revelation 2:23. Now make no mistake, God loves his pastors. He refers to his shepherds, his pastors, as his portion. And I can tell you, he'll fight for them. He deals with them very patiently, just as he does with all of his children. But I can tell you that we serve a holy God. And our holy God will not sponsor a lie. He will not protect a double life. He refuses to stand by as his people continue to indulge in sin. And the time will come when he says, you have lived a lie long enough. You don't practice what you preach. You continually refuse my oath, my covenant, and promises that I've delivered to you. And I'm not going to cover your sensual lifestyle anymore. I won't allow you to lightly disregard my word. So get ready. Your walls are coming down. And we've seen those walls fall in the lives of many so-called ministers. We've seen those walls come down, didn't we? So the lesson's real clear. Ask God to forgive you. It's better that you deal with it than for him to deal with it. Because if you won't learn to deal with it, God will make sure everybody knows about it. Are you listening to me? Isaiah 5, I'm closing with this. What more could I have done for you? I built a protective hedge around you. I gave you the best that life has to offer. When I looked for fruitfulness, I saw nothing but wild grapes. And I'm taking your hedge down. The beautiful vineyard that I built for you will be laid waste. Beasts will devour the plants. The soil will become dead and dry. The ground will be covered with briars and thorns. You see, this is when our trouble starts. The Lord may chasten us by allowing the enemy to attack our life or our home, but I can tell you that he always intends to produce a righteous result. He wants to bring forth an obedient heart in us, one that will take his word seriously. Is it ever too late for us to regain control of our uncontrolled spirit? Will the Lord rebuild our walls once they've come down? Absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. It's his desire to restore us. He wants us in full control of our spirit. He wants all flesh and the enemy under subjection to him. Restoration begins when you take God's word seriously and you no longer think that you're a special case and you are exempt from his judgments. But instead, you have been convinced that the Lord will deal with you severely if you ignore his commands. And you realize that you could also become a castaway. But I can tell you that the moment your heart turns to the Lord, he begins the rebuilding process. He puts you back in control of your spirit, and you're willing to obey his every word. You're no longer a troubled city without walls. Instead, your life is a beautiful vineyard that he intended, a very fragrant garden, inviting to all around you. Ooh, hallelujah. Every head bowed. And if your spouse is here and she's sitting along beside you, I want you to reach over and grab her hand because I'm going to pray with you. If your spouses are here, I want you to grab their hand. I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. Oh, wish my honey was here. I'd grab her hand right now. Let's pray, Heavenly Father. Every marriage is here. Every couple that's here, I pray, Lord, if they've already had their battle, if they've argued and they've said some pretty nasty things to one another, I ask you, Lord, to forgive them. And as you forgive them, They need to also to forgive one another. If we want your forgiveness, we have to forgive one another. There is no other option. So, Lord, these couples that are holding hands, Lord, I want you to bless their relationship. I want you to bless them. Bless their going in and their going out. Bless them. Bless their marriage. Bless their children. Bless their work. Bless their relationships. Bless everything they touch. And Lord, keep that hedge around them. Keep that hedge around them. And keep them in protection of your good grace and your love. Thank you, Lord, for this message. It spoke to my heart today. And I pray it spoke to every heart that's here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whew. Now we have anointing service. We're going to end with it.